Welcome to Sling Stones, a podcast with insights for the Christian journey. And now your host, Terry Wardle.
I hope you're doing well today. Cheryl and I just returned from our time in Colorado, had a great seminar out there, some other meetings, just a super time. And then we were able to spend some time with our family, not all of our family. Our daughter, Emily, wasn't able to make the trip, but our other children and grandchildren were all there. We had a great time up in Breckenridge. It was very refreshing for Sherry and for me. Also, we got home just a couple days ago, and we're preparing to leave again. I'm off to speak at the Warrior Connection down in North Carolina, which is going to happen very shortly. A group of men and their wives gathering together to come under the presence of the Lord. I have the privilege of serving them again. That's going to be great also. So when I was a kid, my parents attended a little Methodist Protestant church in a small village, less than a half a mile from where we lived. The village was called Gastonville. There was one store, one post office, a bunch of homes, and an elementary school. It's the elementary school where I attended, where my wife attended, and certainly my sister attended. And we would go to that church from time to time. Eventually, it became a United Methodist church, but it was a very unique combination of factors, this little Gastonville Methodist church. It was conservative, most certainly. Conservative, very almost fundamental understanding of God and His Word. It was somewhat laid back, but they also had a liturgy, a very stated liturgy as to how they did things. And there were certain parts of it that I really cherished. Even though we only went occasionally, these things left a deep impression upon my mind. A couple of them would be this. So people would be chattering around the pews and visiting with one another, and then all of a sudden the organist, at exactly 11 o'clock, would play three chords on the organ, at which point everyone was to get into their seats, and then the chimes would play, again, the same chimes three times. As those chimes were playing and everyone was getting very quiet, a worship leader or a member of the congregation would walk up front to what was called the pulpit, and they would say these words, "The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before Him." And then there would be silence. The whole congregation, you could hear a pin drop. And there was this sense that we were now in the presence of God. Now, after that happened, there were a whole list of other, if you will, liturgical acts. The first one fascinated me. A young man or a young woman would be coming down the middle aisle with this very long brass instrument that was lit at the end. And they would walk very silently up to the altar, walking on the platform, and they would light the two candles. Now, at the time, I didn't know what that meant, but it signified the coming of the Holy Spirit into our presence. It was not only religious, it was kind of sacred for me. Even though we didn't attend regularly, I always remembered those moments, the silence, the fire, the lighting. And then there would be a whole bunch of other acts of liturgy. The Apostles' Creed would be repeated. There would be a time of silent prayer, a confession of sin time. Then there'd be a pastoral prayer. The preacher would preach. There'd be a few hymns. There was usually a responsive reading. There might be special music. And then the service would come to an end. Oh, of course, there was an offering also. Don't want to forget that offering. Now, the one thing that came across my mind when I was a kid is these were all very religious and seemed to be sacred acts, but it didn't seem to make any difference on Monday. I mean, Monday was very different than Sunday morning. Monday, nobody played the chimes or the organ, and no one sang hymns, and there wasn't somebody walking around with a flame signifying the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and on it goes. It just didn't seem like the liturgy of Sunday in any ways came into Monday. But I am going to suggest to you, in our little conversation here today, that there are a couple of these acts of liturgy that we ought to bring in. And I'm specifically going to mention three. We're going to talk about one today, and then we'll talk about the other two later. And the three acts of liturgy that I think we ought to embrace on a regular basis, a daily basis, sometimes maybe even multiple times a day, are these: the invocation, the doxology, and the benediction. Invocation, doxology, benediction. Now, those aren't words that a lot of people are familiar with in their day-to-day lives, but as Christians, they have a historic significance, and I think they're very important for us as we begin to consider growth in the Lord and following the admonition to know Him more intimately, to love Him more dearly, and to follow Him more clearly. So today, for just a few minutes, we're going to talk about the notion of invocation. So the candles would be lit, and that was a symbol of the Holy Spirit now being present in the midst of the people. And after the acolyte, the person lighting the candles, would walk down off the platform, either the worship leader or the pastor would come up, and they would actually pray, recite, or read a prayer of invocation. Now, the notion of invocation is saying, "Oh, Holy Spirit, come and be with us. Empower us. Move in our midst. Animate what it is that we're doing." Now, yes, it can be true that liturgy has the potential of just being empty religious acts. But I'll tell you this, it sure doesn't have to. Because the idea is a liturgical act like praying, "Come, Holy Spirit," is something that needs to happen as an open channel of God's presence coming and being with us. I don't know if you're aware, if you ever attend one of our seminars, there are a number of people that pray for people. And one of the things I've taught them to do is to go, introduce themselves, and then pray a prayer of invocation. "Holy Spirit, please come, please be with us." What we're saying there is, "Holy Spirit, you're welcome. Holy Spirit, you're needed." We can even go a step further and say, "Holy Spirit, it's not possible that we can do what we need to do without your presence. You are the living God who is here in our midst, and we ask that you make us more aware of your presence." That's the notion of invocation. Now, a number of years ago, I had the opportunity to spend some time with a man named John Wimber, and he was part of founding the Vineyard movement and very well known for his anointing on his life, and he used to have a point in his services where it simply say, "Come, Holy Spirit." And many times as I was there, you could feel the atmosphere shift, that there was a sense that God had just come into the midst of the people, and now he would wait to see what it is that God wanted to do. Well, John Wimber didn't come up with that idea. That has a historic significance. John Calvin, the great reformer in the 16th century, he would never preach without saying those same words: "Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, be with us. Bring your life into our life. Animate our life." All right, so what does that have to do with us? Well, here's what I'm suggesting to you. What if you and I made a commitment, maybe for 7 days or 10 days or for 30 days, to embrace the liturgical act of invocation into our day-to-day lives? Not just let it be something that happens on Sunday morning, but actually say, "You know what, I'm going to do it on a daily, day-to-day basis." And when will we do it? Well, why don't we start when we get up? Get up in the morning and simply say, "Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We pray that you would come and be with us, empower our lives, animate our lives." I mean, this is what Jesus said the Holy Spirit was there to do. He talked about the fact that he was leaving, but that he would not leave us as orphans, that he had prayed that God would send his Holy Spirit, and now his Holy Spirit dwells in all people that are believers. And Jesus said he would teach us, he would give us power, he would be our counselor, he would be our comforter, he would be our helper. Wow, I need all of those, don't you? So what if we began to simply, more specifically, invite the Holy Spirit to be with us? So do it when you get up in the morning. But maybe you want to also do it when you're facing, what, a trial, a circumstance, a task. So after I get up and I invited the Holy Spirit to be with me, I had to get into my office to go to a meeting, and I wanted to be sure that I was really in tune with the Lord. So again, I invited the Holy Spirit to make me aware of His presence, be with me. Later in the day, today, around noon, I went for a walk. It was very warm, by the way. I should have done that earlier. But as I was walking, I wanted to sense God and sense His presence. So I said, Holy Spirit, will you come? Each of those little words, Holy Spirit, help me, Holy Spirit, will you come? Those are acts of invocation, something we can do every day. And I want to suggest to you that it can help us grow deeper in the Lord if we would do that. Just for 7 days, 10 days, 30 days. How about you challenge someone, I'll challenge someone, and let us embrace this notion that we will live a life conscious of the importance of invocation. Holy Spirit, come be in our midst. It'd be kind of fun also to become aware anytime somebody lights a candle, lights a match, flicks their Bic lighter, uses something to light their grill, that we are conscious that that flame is a symbol of the Holy Spirit's presence and how much we need the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives. Every day, in every circumstance throughout the day, aware of this notion of invocation. So you see, it is possible that some of the liturgy of the church can actually last beyond Sunday. We can begin to do it at other times, particularly this act of invocation. Would you be willing to give that a try? I know you have a love for the Holy Spirit and you want to experience Him more, His indwelling presence, the empowerment of the gifts in your life, the cleansing of your life. Well, let's just be more conscious of it. The church service never started in that little Gastonville Methodist church until silence covered the congregation and we welcomed the ministry of the Holy Spirit into our midst through the symbol of flame and candle. Take that notion into your day. Invite the Holy Spirit. Welcome Him. Invoke His presence and see what difference it makes. I want to bless you today. I'll remind you that we have Facebook page, website, other kinds of resources that are available to you, and a whole list of seminars and other activities that are taking place. I hope you avail yourself of those as they are important to you. But most of all, remember, God's face is shining on you. He's given you His Spirit to live within you. Jesus sits at the throne interceding for you. Ask the Holy Spirit to make you more aware of all of that and certainly of His presence. God bless you. Hope you have a good day.